Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive. With Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Happy to tell you guys that I got a chance to catch up with Patrick Mahomes earlier today. I'll play that conversation for you coming up in about an hour and a half. I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll play that for you coming up at around 3:15. We got a lot to get into. Usually, we would begin the day with the Kansas City Chiefs or something local. That is not close to the top story in sports right now. We will get to that coming up in just a bit. I don't want you to think that we don't got you covered here locally. We're going to head to Columbia and be joined by Kevin Coleman, a wide receiver for the University of Missouri. They got a very important game coming up this weekend against Vanderbilt. We also are going to take a trip to New York to be joined by somebody who covers the Jets. They've got a couple of players at the Chiefs could possibly add in a trade. We're also going to head to Miami and also be joined by someone who covers the Dolphins. They certainly have some pieces that Kansas City would like to potentially pick up in a trade. Devon Achain, Jalen Phillips. So we will head to both teams out in the AFC East and get their thoughts. We have a very important Thursday night football game coming up as well. The Vikings and the Chargers, two teams that are in the exact same place. The Chargers in Kansas City's division. We'll cover that game as well. We got a lot planned in today's show. Again, Patrick Mahomes scheduled to join us coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. We'll get to the top story in sports here coming up momentarily, but I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two people, but you know what? If you could just tell one person to check out the show, I would greatly appreciate it. And number three, and most important, I need you to know that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. If you're looking for a place to go watch some Thursday night football, if you're looking for a place to watch some playoff baseball, college football this weekend, the pros, then look no further than our friends over at The Other Place. Great food, great drink specials, patios, televisions everywhere, the perfect place to watch a game this weekend. All right, let's talk about the top story in sports. I'm looking right now at the television, and it is the number one story. You know at this point, Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones, they all got busted for various things. I mean, this was an FBI investigation on this thing. Now, I have seen a couple of storylines, points that I want to address as we begin the day with the conversation about this. I am not naive to gambling addictions, and that gambling addictions have very much crippled a lot of people and disrupted a lot of people's lives and their family. So I don't want to act like that doesn't exist. I don't want to be mindful of that, and my commentary needs to be reflective. But I feel like a lot of people are throwing that onto this conversation when I don't think that's what it is. Now, everybody is in this for something very different. Terry Rozier is in this situation to me because of one or two reasons. Number one, he got in bad with some bad people and threw basketball games to try to help those people make a lot of money in a short period of time. Or B, he found a way to help his friends make some easy money and agreed to go along with it. I don't know if that's an addiction thing. I think that's a greed thing. We have seen this from the beginning of time, and it doesn't matter if it's stocks, pharmaceuticals, sports, whatever it is. Rich people that have all the things in life that they could possibly want somehow seem to not have enough and want more and will do whatever it takes to circumvent the rules to try to acquire more things. That's what we're talking about. This isn't any different than some stock fraud that we've seen or whatever it is. These are very rich people who have made tens or hundreds of millions of dollars in their MBA and professional career, somehow decided that's not enough and I want to scam, defraud, or do whatever I got to do to put more money into my pocket. So that's the Terry Rozier part of this entire thing. Terry Rozier either just got caught up with some bad people because he owed him some money and this was the one way that he could figure out to pay off his debt where they cleared $200,000, or he just thought it was cool to try to help out his boys, put a little bit of money in their pocket, and essentially took himself out of an NBA game. The second part of this is the Chauncey Billups. Because at first, when I first saw the Chauncey Billups news, I think a lot of people had the same opinion that I had when it came to this. Man, I don't really care if you and your friends gamble at home. I really don't care. I think a lot of people are doing this. You get a group of guys together. You guys are playing poker. We talk about this on The Sopranos, a little executive game. I don't care about that. I don't think that would be an FBI investigation if this was just people getting together at people's homes and playing high stakes poker. I think they got other things to worry about. Nah, I think this is a little deeper than that. I think Chauncey Billups was scamming people. I think he was actively recruiting people to play in poker games, and in those poker games, they were rigged. And what I'm guessing, based on what I've read, is I think they scammed the wrong person. Or they caught somebody up in an investigation, maybe Gilbert Arenas, allegedly, and that person started offering up information to save his own tail and started bringing down the entire scheme. They were talking about these people using X-ray glasses and special poker tables and having a quarterback and somebody that could go out and let you know, hey, with this person's hand in and knowing when to bet big. And it sounds to me like Chauncey Billups was in the absolute middle of this fraud scheme that they had. So that's one side of it. Again, I'm not here to demean gambling addiction. It's a very, very real thing. I don't think that's what we're talking about with Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier. They were stealing. They were scheming. They were trying to get over on people. I want to put them in a different category. They're criminals. They're thieves. That's what I think this investigation showed you. They had an elaborate scheme to steal millions of dollars from people. You can't do that. Now, this is the other part of this, because I think that people are being a little bit unfair when it comes to the gambling apps. Now, you guys know that I do the FanDuel commercials. So I'm a part of it too. I receive money every single month from FanDuel and have been doing so for quite some time. Now I use the other books and I don't think that they care about that because they get my money too. But this is America. You get a choice in how you want to spend your time, your money, and what your vices are. There aren't a whole lot of health positives for alcohol. We know the negatives of alcohol. We know the effects that alcohol has on the human body, what it can do to people, what it can do to families. We have all the information in the world, and we have made the decision as a society that when you get of age, you have the decision on whether or not you want to consume it. So if you want to go to the sports bar and have a beer, you're allowed to do that. If you want to have a nice steak and get you a glass of wine or get a bottle of champagne to celebrate that, you and your lady, you are certainly within your rights to do it. There ain't a whole lot of positives in smoking cigarettes. Ain't a whole lot of positives in smoking cigars. And we have just decided, hey, if you want to smoke cigars, cool. I mean, don't smoke in here. But if you want to smoke in your own home, if you want to go outside, if that's how you want to enjoy your time, you are more than allowed to do that. I can give you countless examples of these things that we have just decided as American culture and society, you are of age. You are old enough to make an informed adult the decision for yourself, and you should be allowed to do that. I don't have any issues with that. Did you guys know that the average bet on DraftKings is $4? The average bet. I'm going to assume that a large group of people use these apps the same way that I do and Rob does. Rob, you and I have determined what our unit size is. Whether it's $5, $10, $20, I usually go in that metric. If I feel really good about something, I'll put 20 down on it. Most bets, I'll just use 10. Sometimes I'll throw a little $5 parlay in there and hope to hit big. I think a large majority of people are gambling on these apps responsibly. The same way that I believe a large majority of people that drink alcohol drink so responsibly. Hey, I'm at home. I ordered a 12-pack. I want to have a beer while I watch the game. I don't plan on driving anywhere, but I should be allowed to have a beer in my home. So I think in some ways now it's, oh, well, these apps, well, yeah, because that's how America works. You're allowed to make a decision. So I don't have any problems with the NFL encouraging you or telling you that you can bet on these games. I like having the choice to do it. It's not, doesn't control my life. I can stop whenever I want. It's fun. It's entertaining. And in society, we have decided that, yes, for the greater good, we have allowed people to enjoy these things, but we also know that some people are going to get caught up in these things, and that is the trade that we have been willing to make. So I don't have a problem with FanDuel. I don't have a problem with DraftKings or BetMGM or Caesars or any of these things. I would just encourage every single person listening that makes the decision to use these apps to do so responsibly and know your limits and give you all the gambling cliches that are out there. Don't bet more than you think you can lose. I'm only putting money in the app that I'm cool with losing. I mean, I don't mind losing money, but trust me, I'm not trying to be mad about the result of a sporting event that I really don't care who wins and loses that much, but it's fun. I put $20 down on the game. Who wins if I lose? And no big deal. I think a large majority of people are using these apps these ways. So I don't want to now just throw all of this negativity onto the gambling apps when we just got to acknowledge that people will always people. Always. You have the information. You know right from wrong, and you make the decision to do something completely different. That is not the gambling app. That's just us as human beings. So I think this is the top story. It is a major story. It is the most NBA 3 days that we have possibly ever had. We had a great double overtime game to kick off the season. Victor Wembanyama scored 40 points on the second day. Inside the NBA is back. And then day three of the NBA, we get a major gambling investigation surrounding a NBA Hall of Famer in Chauncey Billups, other players, coaches, a wife. They've been working on this for years. They had an operation name and nicknames and all kind of stuff associated with this. Just an absolutely crazy, crazy story. Coming up in about an hour, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, coming up on the other side, let's get people ready for Thursday night football because you got the AFC version of the Chargers and the NFC version of the Chargers playing each other. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. We'll talk some quarterbacks here coming up in just a bit. Speaking of quarterbacks, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs coming up in about an hour or so. Rob, we got Thursday night football coming up today. The Vikings go on the road to play the Los Angeles Chargers. This is actually one of the better games this week in the National Football League. It's one of the better Thursday night football games that we have. We mentioned the Spider-Man meme on this show, and I imagine a lot of people have seen it and know exactly what we're talking about, where it's the two Spider-Man standing right next to each other and pointing at each other. I feel like that's what these two teams are. They're just two teams that are kind of in the exact same place. I mean, it's been a while since the Vikings have been to the Super Bowl, been a while since the Chargers have been to the Super Bowl. Two teams that are usually good and around the mix, but very rarely actually in the mix. Two teams that I don't think are good enough to potentially win their division, but good enough to be wild card teams, maybe not good enough to do much more than that. I feel like there's really a lot of similarities between these two teams heading into Thursday Night Football.
It is eerily similar, and both teams have really dealt with health issues because both teams are a little bit of the walking wounded. The Vikings haven't had their quarterback since week two. They've had problems with their left tackle. Like, the Vikings are not exactly the world's healthiest team, and we in Kansas City know, man, the Chargers are perpetually hurt. We don't know about the situation with Joe Alt tonight. They've been battling injury across that offensive line. Amarian Hampton obviously knows out. Najee Harris we know is out. Like, these teams are eerily similar in the fact that I think they're well coached. I think they're both pretty good, but I have no idea because they're never, ever healthy, and you get glimpses of it. Like, earlier this year, I felt like, man, the Vikings are actually pretty good. And then immediately they gave all that interest right back. The Chargers, we know, started 3-0 and have gone on a skid ever since. Like, the Spider-Man meme is a perfect analogy because I truly do not know what either of these teams are. I think they're both playoff teams, but you could easily convince me they're both 6-11 teams because of injuries and health.
Yeah, it's very interesting, I would say, when it comes to the Chargers, because they got off to such a hot start where they won their first three games. They've now lost three of their last four and find themselves at 4-3. For whatever reason, it just feels like every Chargers game ends up being a coin flip kind of game. Like, if you're going through their next 4 weeks before they get to their bye week is in week 12. Today against Minnesota, coin flip kind of game. They're a 3-point favorite. On the road against Tennessee, that's a game in which the Chargers should win, but they're also the Chargers. No one would be surprised if the Chargers go on the road, lay an egg in a noon game in Tennessee and lose. In fact, that sounds like the most on-brand thing that the Chargers could possibly do. Then they play Pittsburgh and Jacksonville in back-to-back games, other games that feel like they're going to be 1.5, 2.5, 3-point kind of spreads, again, coin flip kind of games. It just feels like that's what the Chargers play every single week. That's what they have. I don't know what to make of this game. I think the Chargers are the better of these two teams, but it's Thursday night. I always feel like the results of Thursday night are very, very random when it happens. You just mentioned the injuries that the Chargers have. That also makes them even more random than they usually are. Again, I think the Chargers are going to win this game, but I can't tell you that with any degree of certainty.
We opened the show talking about gambling. In a negative context, I'll tell you this. You're not going to catch me gambling in this game because I truly have no idea what will happen. Like, could I see Carson Wentz rising up and being good enough to beat the Chargers tonight? Absolutely. Could I see the Chargers? Hey, it's Carson Wentz. He's on the road. It's the full Carson Wentz experience, and the Chargers take care of business. Yes. There's like so many outcomes I can see this game. I also think, I know that in Kansas City there is the thought, and I'm part of this thought group, that the Chiefs taking a step forward and they're part of the upper echelon again in the league. But I think if you look across the landscape of the NFL, a lot of games look like tonight's game, where it's two teams that, hey, we think that team's pretty good, but they have a fatal flaw. They have an Achilles heel. It's just a matter of, can they avoid that issue? Can they prevent the other team from exploiting that issue? And it's going to be a 1.5, 2-point game. I feel like tonight's game is really what the league has been all year round. Parity, and I don't really know who's good and who's not. Like, if we opened up, you know, FanDuel and looked at every gambling line across the league this year week, I bet we see a lot of 2, 3, and 4-point games because I don't know. Everyone's kind of in that wash right now. I think there are some really good teams, and I think there's everyone else who's just caught in this spin cycle.
The next couple of weeks for the Minnesota Vikings, they go on the road tonight to play the Chargers. Next week, they go on the road to play the Lions. They then play Baltimore at home. No real clue what to do with Baltimore. They're getting Lamar Jackson back. I don't think they're a very good team, but with Lamar, they're certainly dangerous. They then play Chicago in a divisional game, and again, no one really knows what to expect. when it comes from Chicago. You've mentioned those teams that are in the wash. There's certainly a lot of those teams in the league right now. I don't know if there is a team that embodies that more than Minnesota. Minnesota has not won consecutive games. It's been win-loss, win-loss, win-loss this entire season. This is the chance for you to get back on the right side of things at home against the Chargers. This feels just like a very important game to me from the Chargers. You stay over 500, you're 5-3, you get an extended amount of rest before you head into a game against the Tennessee Titans. Like, this is a team that should have beat the Giants earlier this season. There was really no reason for you to get handled by Washington the way that you did at home. But if you can figure out a way to win this game, you stay at 5-3, you then get healthy, you get right, you get a little bit of time, an extended rest period heading into the game against Tennessee. I mean, you can be a 6-3 football team heading into a home Sunday night football game against Pittsburgh and really give yourself a chance at momentum. But what has usually happened in these swing games with the Chargers is it never swings their way. They usually lose these kind of games. So that's kind of what I'm expecting today.
Let me ask you this about the Chargers. And we've made this joke and we kind of, you know, ha-ha about it on the show, but I think it's a fair point. Do the Chargers ever win this type of game?
Very rarely.
It seems like every time they think to themselves, hey, I think you're better than that team. I know that you're kind of hurt, but it feels like you should go out and win this game. They don't do it. And that's beyond just this year. There are times in every Charger season. It could be Harbaugh, Anthony Lynn. It could be, you know, Brandon Staley. It could be North Turner, where it feels like, oh, I think the Chargers can get this one. They should have the advantage. And it feels like they consistently fail. So, like, this feels like the kind of game the Chargers should win, but also feels like the kind of game the Chargers have perpetually lost in our lifetime, which makes me wonder, are they going to get it done this time, or is Carson Wentz going to be on the Amazon desk hanging out with Tony Gonzalez and Richard Sherman after this one because they get a hard-fought win on the I guess on the road. There'll be more Viking fans there tonight than Charger fans, but on the road in LA. Like, I don't know the Chargers ever win this type of game. And I think tomorrow on the show, we are probably talking about what happened. The Chargers were given this big lead in the division and they absolutely blew it 3 weeks later.
Let's switch gears just a little bit. I want to read you this story here very quickly. So I was thinking about this with Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota is going to be starting next week, Monday Night Football, against the Kansas City Chiefs. And you and I talk a lot of times about how difficult it is to get things right at quarterback. We always talk about draft a quarterback. And I certainly understand the philosophy behind it. But we have to acknowledge, man, it ain't really that easy. A lot of other things go into it. I thought Marcus Mariota was going to be a good player. I really liked Marcus Mariota in college. I think the injuries kind of derailed his career. I thought he had a decent rookie year, really took a step forward his second year, and was kind of primed to take that step in year three. He just got injured. I think his body started to break down. I don't think he's a consistent starter in the league, and that was just really kind of the end of it. So, Rob, I went through this. So I went through the next five drafts that were after Marcus Mariota. And just to give you an example of how difficult it is to get things right. So these were the next six quarterbacks that were taken after Marcus Mariota was in the first round. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch, Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson. Now, I know Goff is a hit. Like, I'm not arguing that. Would you consider him a hit for the Rams? I know they got to the Super Bowl, but they seem pretty happy to move on from him. Carson Wentz certainly wasn't a hit in Philadelphia. Mitch Trubisky, don't got to discuss it. Paxton Lynch, don't have to discuss it. I would argue the same thing for Deshaun Watson. A good player up to a point, but by year five, year six, you were ready to move on and go in a completely different direction, and it took the Texans 3 to 4 years to kind of get right. We obviously don't have to have this conversation about Mahomes. So what I'm saying is, look, at those first six quarterbacks after you drafted Tua, it's very hit or miss on your ability to go out and find your quarterback. The next six QBs after that, Baker, Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. Baker, not a hit in Cleveland. Sam Darnold, not a hit for his original team. Rosen, out of the league almost instantly. Kyler Murray, extremely frustrating. In fact, Kyler Murray feels like he's a much more athletic version of Marcus Mariota. They seem very similar in a lot of ways. And then the last four quarterbacks, so in the five drafts after Marcus Mariota, Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, and Jordan Love, You talk about Love and his inconsistencies. Tua has certainly kind of been that way. Burrow can't really stay healthy, and Herbert still doesn't have a playoff win to his career. I just think sometimes when we have these conversations about going and get quarterbacks and who we think's going to work and who we don't think's going to work, we got to at least point out, man, your success rate on hitting on these quarterbacks to where you really feel like you got a franchise QB, I mean, you're shooting like 5 to 10%. I'm talking about not just a capable starter. I'm talking about a guy that you give a second contract and you feel good about the second contract. There's not a lot of those guys in the National Football League where Team A gave them their second deal and feel great about it, because the Rams didn't feel great about it. The Eagles didn't feel good about it when it came to Carson Wentz. When it came to Deshaun Watson, he never played under that contract for the Houston Texans by the time they gave him that second deal. Even for the guys that ultimately end up haven't really worked out with their original franchise.
That's what I noticed about, as you listen to those quarterbacks. A, you're right. It's very, very difficult. And I think I am definitely part of the problem here. I sometimes just feel like, oh, you draft the quarterback and everything's going to be okay. Drafting the quarterback is not an easy endeavor. We mentioned the Vikings earlier. I think J.J. McCarthy's going to be an okay quarterback, but the jury is very much still out. I know he's later than we're talking about. I also think, are teams too quick to eject on these guys? Because as you were naming a lot of those quarterbacks, there's a lot of guys on that list that if you had been more patient with them, I think you'd be in a better spot. Like, look at the Browns with Baker Mayfield. They'd be light years better than they are today if they wouldn't have given up on him for Mr. Nasty Man. The Jets with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has 100% resurrected his career and is playing really good football out in Seattle after a year of really good football out in Minnesota. Like, Josh Rosen's just out of the league. He's not really part of this. But Mitch Trubisky had pockets of success. Maybe one day if he had given it a second chance, he would have been just okay. I wonder if teams, because of the fifth-year option, because of the mega money that's going to be looming on the back half, because of all the things we talk about with franchise quarterback, give up too quickly. Because there was a lot of names on that list that I felt like maybe if you stay the course, you have a better situation, which leads us into the conversation we and you perpetually are having. Quarterback contracts, and they're just broken right now in the league.
Yeah, I also just feel like it's kind of hard to identify where that pressure comes from. Is that pressure coming from the owner? Is that coming from the fans? Because we see that pressure everywhere. In college football, extreme example, just last year, Penn State was in the college football playoff and won multiple games. Following season, they had a lead in overtime against Oregon. 2 weeks later, they fired their head coach. Just an incredible turnover in that aspect. We see this happen at quarterback all the time. I thought Baker showed you a little bit of promise, but you get frustrated with Baker. You got to make a decision about what you want to do. You decide to move on, and you originally were right on Baker Mayfield. Like, the quarterback that the Browns thought that Baker Mayfield can be, he eventually turned out to be that. Now, he started to do it in another uniform, but he turned out to be that player. Same thing for the Jets. When you spend a top 8 pick on Sam Darnold, you expect him to be the quarterback that he was last year with the Minnesota Vikings and the quarterback that he is right now with the Seattle Seahawks. That's a quarterback that you're happy to spend a top 10 pick on. I am with you. I do wonder if, when it comes to some of these coaches, I wonder if patients, fans, owners, whatever, we've just gotten so impatient with these guys that the moment that you show any level of adversity, it's time to fire that guy and just quite simply move on from that player. We see that happen at coach. We see that happen at quarterback. And the Browns might be in a better situation if they just rode things out with Baker Mayfield. The Jets might be in a better situation if they had just rode things out with Sam Darnold, gave him more resources, gave him more parts and pieces around him, and gave him a chance to flourish. But we just fire these guys so quickly. We trade these guys so quickly that we never really get to see them come out on the other side of whatever struggles they're dealing with.
I mean, it's that age-old saying that you draft a coach, you draft a quarterback, or hire a coach just to fire a coach, and you know you get fired for drafting the quarterback. I think the culprit, and I'm not 100% sure, but this is my working theory on the culprit for the problem of quarterback, is that after the 4 years, they don't get regular contracts. They don't get, hey, we're going to give you another 2 years. Here's a totally normal contract extension. Let's just figure it out. Let's see if you are something on the back half. Like, we've seen that at other positions in the NFL. We've seen players get extensions that aren't, oh my God, you know, hit the breaking news sounder, SportsCenter is leading. It's a regular extension. It's normal football. Like, Jalen Watson's going to be due for an extension pretty soon. I could see a world where he gets a 3-year contract where Chiefs fans aren't upset with it and no one in the league other than Kansas City is talking about it. But with quarterback, it just, we live in a world where it's, you are now making 5 years, $225 million, or we cut you. I wish we lived in a world where there was an intermediate system for quarterback contracts, because I think that pressure exists because it's either we dump all our cap assets into you, you're the guy, or we eject. There is no in-between at quarterback anymore.
We're going to play our conversation with Kevin Coleman. We got a chance to be joined by the Missouri wide receiver earlier today. We'll play that for you here coming up momentarily. Rob, before we do that, let's talk about their game this weekend. It is crazy to think, it is crazy to say, Missouri against Vanderbilt is one of the bigger games this week in college football and has some of the biggest college football playoff implications of most games this weekend in college football. Like, if you look at the slate this week, I mean, it ain't great. There's not a lot of great games. There's not a lot of marquee matchups. I mean, there's Texas A&M and LSU. That's a pretty good game, but there's not really that marquee big game in the Big Ten that is that kind of banner game that you're talking about. Missouri and Vanderbilt is one of the three best games in college football this weekend.
I mean, that's why game day's there. It actually, we talked about it on the show. A game that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Mizzou fans were not talking about this game. National media wasn't talking about this game. No one talked about this game. This game has legit SEC title implications.
For sure.
Like, if Mizzou and or Vanderbilt win, whoever wins, they're going to be able to say, hey, we have one loss in the league. We are very much in the race. The schedule, at least for Vanderbilt, this game is advantageous to go undefeated. We have a chance to end up in Atlanta. I don't know if Vanderbilt has ever ended up in Atlanta. It'd be the third time for Mizzou, to my knowledge, unless I'm forgetting one. Like, this game has massive SEC title implications, especially considering, I don't know if it's at the same time, but you have Ole Miss, Oklahoma this weekend as well, which one of those teams is going to have to lose the game, and now you figure they fall out of the SEC title race. Like, the winner of this game, I don't know if they're in the driver's seat, but they are in a really good position to end up in Atlanta playing for the SEC title game, and you know how this thing works. If you're in Atlanta, you are in the college football playoff. The powers that be are not keeping the runner-up out of the SEC out of the college football playoff. They just aren't.
Yeah, I mean, I would say right now that there's two playoff games this weekend in the SEC, Ole Miss and Oklahoma. Both of those teams already have one loss in conference. That's probably honestly where game day would have went, but they've already been to Oklahoma earlier this season for the Oklahoma and Michigan game. And Mizzou Vandy, another game with two teams in the SEC with one loss. These feel like playoff games. The loser is likely eliminated from that conversation. Earlier today, we got a chance to catch up with Kevin Coleman. He plays wide receiver at Mizzou. We asked him how satisfying it was to leave Auburn with the road win.
It was definitely electrifying. Everyone was excited. First road game together. It was a dogfight. We went on the road. We fought for, what, six quarters, we would say, four plus two overtimes. And we fought together and stuck together and came out victorious, so it was just great coming out with the victory.
Kevin, how was your preparation different? Because you mentioned it, and it came up in the broadcast. You guys played Lindenwood back in August to try to simulate a road game, but that was 2 months ago. How was your preparation different? How was your team's preparation different, knowing that you guys had to go on the road for the first time this season?
Of course, we prepped like it was a away game, so we had the noise and the background at practice. But the preparation was the same. That whole week, we just focused on the day of. We didn't worry about the Saturday, because Saturday is going to come eventually. But we just was present where our feet was and practiced hard each and every day, executed the details and worked on the small things. And we knew we would have to be disciplined, and it was going to be a fight going into that game.
Right now, we're talking to the Missouri wide receiver, Kevin Coleman, right now about the win last week and also looking ahead. Kevin, what did you learn about your team this weekend? You learn a lot when you go on the road in this environment. You got 80,000 people who want to see you lose, want to see you fail. What did you learn about your team?
That we're going to fight through adversity. We knew we faced some adversity at home, but going away, it's a difference. When their crowds, way bigger than your crowd. Their crowd's louder than your crowd when they got a home field advantage. It's a different type of atmosphere, a different type of energy you have to come with, and a different type of details, preparation. So I just figured out that we're going to fight regardless. Whether it's away, home, we're going to stick together and fight.
How fired up did Zion Young, did it get your team the way he responded during the coin toss? Because it got fans fired up, just the aggressiveness from the defense and seeing the energy.
No, I definitely looked at the big screen and I seen him, but I heard him as well. And I'm like, that's Z. That's my locker partner. So I'm like, man, that's Z. Man, he's always bringing that type of energy to the team. That's him 24/7. So that definitely got us fired up and just ready to go. And we definitely had to have his back because we didn't want him looking stupid.
Right now, we're talking to Kevin Coleman here for a couple more minutes. Game day is coming to town. If you guys as the road team, is that something you guys as the team are talking about?
We talked about it when we seen it, Sunday, but that is what it is. We're blessed to be in this spot, blessed to be in this position. It's a great opportunity, but the biggest thing we care about is coming out victorious. So it's definitely a great opportunity and a dream come true for us, for everyone, but we're just ready to play the game.
I imagine these are the kind of games that you came to Missouri to play in, on the road against a top 10 team. Vanderbilt got a big win last week. You guys got a big win last week. This is just kind of what life is like in the SEC.
Definitely wanted to come to Mizzou to win, but that SEC, it just hit different. Definitely was hoping Vandy won that last game. We both won that last game because I had a feeling that we both won that last game, that college game they would be in Vandy. So be in Nashville. So, it's definitely something we wanted.
Kevin, whenever you get your steak cooked, how do you get it prepared?
Medium well. I used to be a well-done type of guy, but I grew up, so I just go medium well.
Who got you to change your stance on this?
Back my freshman year in college, me and my boy Shador, we used to go to different restaurants and eat steak a lot, so he put me on.
What is it like to see him in the NFL now?
It's crazy. I knew it was going to happen because the type of guy he is, he's a hardworking guy and very talented. So I just can't wait to see what I know. I can't wait to see him show the world what I know he can do.
You also got a chance to play with Travis Hunter. I've never seen anybody with the ability where I think Travis could be an all-pro corner in the league. I also think he could be an all-pro wide receiver in the league. You play with him. You practice with him. What is it like to see him go on to win the Heisman Trophy and go on to be drafted high in the NFL draft?
Everything he got in life and more that's coming, he's deserving it, and he deserves it. That guy's different, man. He's a humble guy, great guy, and very talented, man. The things you said, I know he's going to do. I don't think it. He's going to get all pro on both sides of the ball. Just the type of guy he is. He's just crazy. He's driven from the hate he knows he's receiving, but he's just driven regardless.
Somebody on your team thinks that they're really good at NBA 2K and they're actually not very good at it. Who is that teammate?
Marquise Johnson.
Whenever you play 2K, what team are you running with?
It really don't matter. Probably the Celtics, though, just because JT's St. Louis there.
And that is Kevin Coleman joining us on the show today. Missouri has a big game this weekend coming up against Vanderbilt. Kevin, man, good luck, man. Look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Have a great one.
Absolutely. That is Kevin Coleman joining us on the show. Missouri plays Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday. Coming up on the other side, a story that I think we all can laugh at. I'll play it for you next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. You know what? I want to play a quick two stories for you guys. The first story is on a podcast from 2023. Now, most of the time, whenever people are doing something they aren't supposed to be doing, other people know about it. And it sounds to me like for those people that play poker, it sounds to me like they kind of knew something was up. Something was a little shady with the games that Chauncey Billups was a part of. So this is from, his name is Matt Berkley. I never heard of this individual. Somebody pulled the audio earlier and I found it. This is a podcast clip from 2023. People that do this knew something funny was going on.
This must have been like 5 years ago, 2019-ish, I think, 4 years ago, where there was this game. It started in L.A. and then it came to Vegas for a few days, and it was all built around Chauncey Billups. And I had heard about the game, and the person who told me about it was like, look, I know the game runners. I'm telling you 100% this game is on the up and up. And I was like, well, I know a lot of the people that are involved, and I'm telling you 100% that it is not on the up and up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of went back and forth, and I agreed that, like, I just wasn't going to go play it. But I had some friends who went and played it both in L.A. and in Vegas. And it obviously, like, was for sure confirmed to be cheated. Mm-hmm. Like, people who clearly didn't even understand the rules of No Limit Hold'em are just, like, jamming hundreds of big blinds in with like a gutty and then just drilling it. Yeah. Only the pros are losing.
I don't know anything about poker. I'm being real with you. I know very little about it, but I know one thing. If it was kind of known in the poker circles that some shady business was going on, you know what I would stop doing? Going over there and playing in the shady poker games. If this was found out in 2023, and this is somebody telling you this story 2 years ago, how many more of these games they have after then? I just want to know. How many more of these games were people running and were people operating? Because that don't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm just going to guess if you play poker for a living, you kind of got a feeling. And it sounds to me like people knew. And if regular poker players realize that everything ain't on the up and up, the government is soon about to figure that out, too. And they figured it out. Operation Royal Flush. I want to play this for you guys. So every once in a while, I try to bring you guys just funny little videos or news stories or TikToks that I see and I want to share with you guys and we can talk about it. This one, it stopped me in my tracks. We've been talking about this one in my group chat for a couple of days. Rob, you haven't heard this yet. I specifically cut some of these myself so you don't have to hear them so I can get your reaction. Listen to this story.
If a man wants to take me on a date moving forward, I now require a $100 refundable deposit on a date. Do people not try to put their best foot forward anymore? And don't get me wrong. If you wanted something casual, sir, you should have said, meet me at Starbucks or Chipotle. So you will be paying, a man will be paying a $100 deposit if you want to take me on a date. If you show up and you can do the little bitty things, like your $100 will be fully refunded before we leave the establishment.
That woman crazy. I don't know if this is real or fake. I'm just here telling you right now that if you're interested in a woman, I don't care what she look like. That could be Selma Hayek. If she's making you put $100 down and she tells you she'll give you the money back at the end of the night, please run as far away from that woman as you possibly can. That woman's nuts. That woman is insane. Crazy to do something like that. Rob, you doing this for Anna Kendrick?
Nope.
You can be real with me because I know Anna's your number one.
Paying a deposit just to go on a date and then having to pay the date too? No. Hard pass.
If Joy said it was a $100 deposit, I'd think about it.
A paying $100 deposit feels less like a date and more like something illegal.
I mean, I consider it. I'm not telling you it'd be a strong no way for me if that's what Joy said she wanted to do. If Joy told me that that was the down payment for her time, I might consider it. There aren't many people. I would give you this opinion for 99.9% of people. I can't make it seem like there's not any exceptions now that I'm talking this thing out. I can't make it seem like there's no exceptions. You're telling me Eva Mendez is like, hey, it's a $100 deposit. Hey, you know what? Let me go to the ATM real quick. You know, you take Apple Pay? Because I might be willing to Apple Pay. I might be willing to send her the Cash App real quick. I might be willing to do that. Now that I'm talking this thing out, you know what? I think this is something I would consider doing. But you got to be an A-lister. I'm not doing this for somebody off Tinder. I'm not doing this for a Bumble babe. But for a certain caliber, Rihanna tell me it's a $100 deposit and she'll give it back to me at the end of the night. As long as it's a good evening, you know what? I might do it. I might do it. I might consider it. Somebody says Selma Hayek can name her price. I can't argue it now. Now that I'm talking it out, that might be a sound strategy.
I mean, this woman is...
She's nuts, though.
She's nuts.
She's nuts.
Like, it's a different conversation for a celebrity. Okay, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Joe Regular? No.
She's regular.
What? Hey, we're going to... She goes on to say, I didn't put it in the thing, that they went to a nice restaurant. So I had to take you to a Capital Grill type and pay $100 just to go? What? No. No thanks.
That Joy? I'm just asking, is that Joy?
If it's a regular, you're not doing that.
Okay, I'm just asking. If you're telling me I got to take Joy to 1587, then I guess we're getting the Wagyu meatballs, if that's the case. I guess that's what we're doing. There's somebody you would pay this $100 deposit for.
Yeah, but not a regular.
No, for sure. No chance.
Sydney Sweeney says it's $100.
She might get $200. I might give her $200. I might give her the non-refundable one. I don't need this money back. You got it. I don't need it back. I hope this money finds you well. I wasn't going to do anything with the money anyway. I was going to trick it off anyway. So I'm happy that I'm giving it to you. I'm happy that I feel like this money can be well served. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to football. Let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs as they get ready for Monday Night Football. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. So drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.